Welcome back, and joining me as we put the day's markets action into perspective is Caroline Kremen from AdviceWorks. Thank you so much for your time, Caroline. There are so many theories on what is happening with the Rand right now, and all of them actually make sense. What is your theory? What do you think is happening here with the Rand? Yesterday reaching an all-time low. It has clawed back some of those losses, but yeah, still in quite negative territory.
Well, I think whatever theory you're hearing out there, it probably is, yes, a little bit of all of the above.
Yeah.
You know, there are global factors. If you're running up to, you know, potential US debt default, I don't think that's going to happen. So you always see a risk off in emerging markets generally when that happens. So there's that. There's just the sentiment that came out of that MPC meeting. I don't think I've ever heard them sound that negative. You know, that obviously, you know, that's the front line of our economy, you know, so that obviously creates a bit of issues there. And then just, you know, I think it's just general mood. We don't seem to be able to get out of this funk that we're in. There really doesn't seem to be a way that, you know, any plan out there that we have to deal with our electricity issues and other issues. And it's just, I just really think it's depression. You know, if you can actually say that a currency is depressed, you know, it's rand depression that we're seeing at the moment.
Yeah. Caroline, you know, what jumped out for a lot of people, including me, in that MPC statement was that the South African Reserve Bank is now in restrictive monetary policy territory. Of course, this is something that they've always just argued against, that they're accommodative, but now it's actually restrictive. But he did also say that we have just entered restrictive territory. When do you think we could go from there, or is it unclear at this point? Because some would say that because he said we're now in restrictive territory, now he's ready to pause or to cut. And some would say that even with restrictive territory, now that we've seen the Rand plummet, there's still more room to go. And the fact that he said we have just entered restrictive policy, that maybe there could be more room. Where's your stance there?
Yeah, so I think if I read through that, and they're probably cross me kind of paraphrasing it, I think what they're trying to say is that we're sitting on a knife edge. Okay, there are a lot of things that have gone wrong for us, and there are a lot of ways that this can actually get worse. I think the only thing that is really going to rescue us out of this at this point is that, first of all, that, you know, kind of get this whole electricity situation more or less under control, that global growth is, you know, maybe a little bit stronger than can be anticipated, and that commodity prices, you know, do pick up as well. You really need all of that, I think, to kind of go right. Or we're just going to kind of continue sliding. And I think that's, you know, you can't come right and say, but I think that's definitely like that depressive tone that people are absorbing from this. It almost, you know, it almost feels as if what he's saying is, yeah, we're on this knife edge, but if things go badly, we can really, really slide a lot further from here. And I think that is where that knee-jerk reaction, you know, as far as the Rand, you know, the Rand was concerned, when it started to fall off to this whole Russian issue, why it's actually fallen further. So if I can call it now, come back, it's just a depressed Rand, you know, from a psychological depression at this point.
Well, hopefully we can get some reprieve from the Fed. Those minutes were out sometime during the week on Wednesday night. And it seemed that there was quite a significant split between members that want the Fed to carry on with the tightening cycle and others that are actually saying, you know what, the economy is expected to slow down, so it would be great if you could pause. What did you get from that? Because it looked like the markets were more welcoming of those minutes.
Yeah, I think people tend to read into the minutes what they want to read, you know. So if you're of the opinion that, you know, things have been tightened too much already and that they need to start to loosen, you take it well. If you're on the other side, you go the other way. I read it. I didn't think actually it was a hell of a lot of difference from what they said in December. You know, they've been very steady, and you know, I do give them credit for that. They were burnt by not increasing interest rates fast enough and early enough, and now they're being very cautious. So, you know, you really need to look down into, you know, don't look into the commentary, look at what they say, but more importantly, look at the dot plot, where you see all of these hundreds of economists that work for the Fed actually kind of give their their projections for the interest rates and in inflation over the next, few quarters and also 2024. And you'll actually see that very little has actually changed from December. So I think, again, just be cautious of what you read. The Fed is sticking to its guns. It's certainly aware. I think the one thing that was thrown into the mix that possibly they didn't anticipate was the banking crisis, and the knock-on effect on employment there. But I think, they certainly, I mean, the fact that they're saying there's going to be slower growth doesn't necessarily mean they're going to cut interest rates. And certainly, if you have a look at where the dot plot sits, it doesn't appear as if there's going to be cuts in interest rates this year. Not going to be massive increases, hopefully not, because then I think in South Africa we've got an issue. But it's sustaining its course. So be careful what you read into it, especially be careful from an investor point of view, because if you start to get happy and you start to say, oh, well, they don't sound as negative as they should be, they're saying exactly what they said last year. So be careful if you're going to invest on any type of hubris coming out of somebody else's commentary. They're sticking to their guns. Not much has changed.
All right. Well, let's actually look at actual numbers now. Quantum Foods coming out with results. The chicken business is really, really struggling. We did have Astral out earlier on in the week, and then Quantum Foods also adding to the nervousness in that chicken business. A green shoot is that their revenue increased by double digits, but then you went down. As you went down the numbers, their headline earnings down 82%.
Yeah,
Your
so
take.
now these food producers, they're interesting to look at, not just as companies, but as a proxy for the economy. Because they, whatever is happening in the economy in South Africa tends to hit the food producers first. And what has hit them, first of all, is I think it was something like a 30% increase in feed costs. This is obviously from issues in Russia and Ukraine, and obviously the increased costs associated with increased oil costs, and then just our own South African flavor to add the fact that they've got to pay and for diesel, to keep things running. So that goes right to their bottom line. They see it immediately. We saw these guys, including Astral, actually start to warn about it last year. So, and they, up until that point, they were absorbing a lot of the costs. And when you actually have a look at Quantum now, I mean, if you go into the supermarket now, you're paying more for chicken and meat and everything. If you keep a record of what you paid last year and what you paid this year, these guys have started to pass on costs. But if you have a look and read into this, there's a point in Quantum's results where I think they actually said that their costs for eggs have actually increased by 30%, but they've only increased their prices by 7%. Now, as a South African consumer, look at that and worry, because sooner or later they're going to have to pass those costs on. These guys have already cut their dividend. There's not much more that they can actually do. So really, coming back to the MPC statement, this is, MPC statement is like an economic theory. Results from companies like Quantum is really where the rubber hits the road. And it's very worrying to see something like that.
Yeah, and quite worrying because it's not just the feed costs, it's not just the load shedding, it's also the avian influenza that they got
Absolutely.
post the reporting period. So also
A
more to
perfect
worry
storm.
about. Yes, exactly. So more to worry about for the second part of the financial year. And of course, we'll be looking out for those numbers when they do come out with those full year results. Caroline, lastly, Nampak actually came out. It's been one of the big news of the week, actually. So it came out with results sometime this week, I think about 2 days ago. And the CEO had a very nice presentation. I was watching it, actually, of the way forward. And there was actually some optimism there. I was inclined to believe him, but obviously the proof will be in the pudding. The taste of the, how does it go? Yes. Yes, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. There we go, Caroline. But yeah, and then after market close yesterday, they also came out with an announcement that they're selling a property in Tanzania for their manufacturing business for about $5.5 million. So really, just speaking to what they're willing to do to get the company back on track. Do you believe it at this at this moment, or is it just that there's too much that's happened in the past where you're a little bit more cautious?
No, I'm look, the thing is, it is an interesting company. It was a nice company. I mean, at one stage, I think most stockbrokers actually held it on their portfolios. It is a company that does struggle in certain types of environments, notably this type of environment. You know, it has costs. If the economy is slow, you don't sell as many of their products. There's no use for as many of their products as there were before. So again, a perfect storm for this company. I think the CEO, yeah, the presentation was great. I think he was very upfront, very honest. People, I think as investors, you do kind of sit back and say, look, we understand where you are. You've laid it all on the line for us. And I think people are giving him the benefit of the doubt that he is actually going to get things sorted out. And you're going to see little transactions here and there, increasing, clean. So just really try to reduce that debt. And if he just keeps on doing this, I think, like I said, I think the market is giving them the benefit of the doubt at this point. And hopefully, you can turn around this company. We've got very few companies still listed on the JSE,
Yeah,
from way back. Be nice to retain this one.
exactly. And we use a lot of products that are packaged by
Yep.
Nampack. So
Absolutely. Yeah.
yeah. All right. Well, let's get to your stock pick for today, Caroline.
Okay. Well, I'm going offshore. I'm going for JP Morgan. This is one of the world's largest banks. You've seen a banking crisis offshore. JP Morgan, ironically, has been a beneficiary of this because it's an extremely big, well-capitalized bank, very, very diverse. And the way it's benefited from it is really it's because it's managing to take with the FDIC, it's actually managing to buy some of the loan books of some of those distressed banks at very preferential rates. They're getting very preferential interest rates from the US federal agencies. And at the end of this crisis, at the end of this recession, whatever we're going to have a bank which is actually getting a lot of revenue from higher interest rates, and they really do earn a lot of revenue from higher interest rates. And they're going to get a bank which has actually managed to acquire loan books from other people, guaranteed by the US government. It's managed to get clients from other banks. So they're going to emerge out of this stronger and bigger and, more influential than ever. Cash flows are secure, dividends are secure here. And unless we have a really major recession in the US, you're probably going to get to the point in a few months' time where they'll actually release some of those reserves that they've held for potential bad debts. And that's extremely beneficial to earnings as well.
All
So,
right.
and I think it's a nice blue chip, but there's a nice potential upside as well, on this one.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Caroline, and for just giving us insights on what has moved the markets today and this week. That was Caroline Cremen from AdviceWorks.